Every one of us are aware of the fact that not everyone likes us. That is a fact of life. And sometimes people who don't like you may say derogatory things about you. It may evidence the fact that in some ways they despise you. And so they say things that are calculated to ridicule you or to bring you down a peg or two. Now, this was true of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I hope you don't mind me calling him the Lord Jesus Christ. He is very special, you see, and I like to give him his full title. So when he was here on earth, there were those who hated him. In fact, the Bible says those who hated him without a cause were more than the hairs of his head. And so sometimes they said things that were scathing. And yet, many of the things that they said were true, although they were said in ridicule. For example, they said one day that he was going to be guest with a man who was a sinner. The man in question was Zacchaeus. The Lord Jesus Christ had brought salvation to that man and had radically revolutionized his life. And he went to have a meal with him that day, and that didn't go down too well. And so they said he was going to be guest with a man that was a sinner. On another occasion, they said, this man receives sinners and eats with them. And of course, while they said that in ridicule, that was true as well, and he still receives sinners. That is the good news today, that the Lord Jesus Christ is willing to receive those who come to him. One day he invited all, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you feel that you're in the category of someone who is heavy laden with the burden of sin, labouring under the bondage of sin, the Lord Jesus says, come to me. The truth is, he receives sinners. He still does. On another occasion, a priest said of the Lord Jesus, it is expedient for us, it is to our advantage, that one man die for the people, that the whole nation perish not. Now, the Bible explains to us that while Caiaphas the priest had no sympathies with the Lord Jesus, what he said was nevertheless true. It was to the advantage of all that the Lord Jesus die. You see, he was dying for our sins. He was dying to pay the penalty for our sins. And because he died and rose from the dead, God is free to offer you pardon, forgiveness, salvation, ultimately a home in heaven. There's one other thing I want to draw attention to, another thing that they said about the Saviour, and that was on the occasion when he died upon that cross. There were those there who said that day, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. Now again, they were saying it, meaning to slight him, meaning to ridicule him. But nevertheless, what they said was 100% accurate. He saved others. And because he had saved others, he could not save himself. On occasions throughout his lifetime, he had forgiven the sins of individuals. I've mentioned Zacchaeus already. There was a man who was paralyzed, and the Lord said of him, your sins are forgiven you. On another occasion, a woman of the city had been forgiven by Christ. He said, her sins, which were many, were all forgiven. Now, whenever he said that, he knew that he would have to become personally accountable for these sins. Because he'd remitted their sins, he had to become accountable for them. And of course, he paid the price for them when he died upon the cross. So, it was true that he could not save himself. He had to die because he'd pardoned and forgiven others. And the fact is, he's still able to save because he did not save himself. He was willing to endure the agonies of death by crucifixion. To use the Bible's words, he was willing to pour out his soul unto death in order to atone for our sins. So at the cross, they said, he saved others. What had given rise to them saying that was the fact that some of the passers-by had said to him, save yourself. Come down from the cross. Now these passers-by were coming in from the country. It was a feast time, a festival time in Israel, and many were coming from country places into the metropolis to celebrate the great feast of Passover, an annual celebration of Israel's deliverance from the bondage of Egypt centuries before. And so they were passing by. And as they passed by, they came upon the crowd at Calvary. They wound their way to the front of that crowd. Callously, they looked at the three men who were suffering such agonies. They seemed to forget about the two on either side of the Lord Jesus, and they vented their hatred and their fury on him who was on the middle cross, and they said, save yourself. If you're the Christ, come down from the cross. It was to such people that the Lord Jesus Christ made a tender appeal. We read about it away in the Old Testament. Many of the things that he said at the cross were prophesied in the Old Testament. And in the book of Lamentations, he made this appeal to the passers-by. Is it nothing to you, all you that pass by? Behold and see, if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord has afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. So he asked a question. He invited a response. He asked them to look at him, crown of thorns upon his brow, his heart broken because of the shame that he was enduring, his hands and feet cruelly spiked to that cross, every bone in his body jolted out of joint. And then there was the darkness, and he invited people to consider all that, behold and see. And he asked you to view his suffering, for in the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ there is hope of salvation. His death upon the cross has made it possible for you to be rid of the plague of sin, to experience forgiveness and the joy of salvation in your life. But he asks you the question, is it nothing to you? Perhaps, as in the past, you've reflected on the Lord Jesus Christ and on what he did when he died on the cross, you would have to admit, it has meant very little to me. Well, sometimes it may bring a tear to your eye or a lump to your throat to think that the Son of God, the great Creator, died on a cross for our sins. But, by and large, you've remained unmoved, and certainly, as of now, you have never yet responded to the Lord Jesus to acknowledge him as your Saviour and to receive him as your Lord. He's asking again, is it nothing to you? As far as I'm concerned, I'm depending on what he did for my place in heaven. It means everything to me that he died on the cross. Sometimes I sing, I'll cherish the old rugged cross. Now, I don't mean by that I idolize the wooden structure upon which he died. What I mean is this, I really value what he did when he died on the cross for my sins. What about you? Is it nothing to you, all you that pass by? And so these passers-by at Calvary had to listen to that tender appeal, but many of them simply said scathingly, save yourself. If you're the Christ, come down from the cross. And on hearing that, the chief priest said, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. Now round that cross, there were some of these others whom the Lord Jesus had saved. I know that the most of the people were insensitive to his sufferings. I know that the most of them hated him. The soldiers, they'd been responsible for the dastardly deed of nailing him to the cross. The priests really despised him and they reviled him. But clustered around the cross were a few people who loved him. They'd come to trust him. He was their Lord. He had saved them. He saved others. Among them was a woman called Mary Magdalene. And the Lord Jesus Christ had liberated Mary Magdalene from the power of sin. She had been possessed by 7 demons, the Bible tells us. Now, demons were those angels who were associated with the devil in his rebellion against God. And sometimes these demons would actually indwell men and women. Sometimes it affected these people physically. We read in the Bible about folks who were either deaf or dumb or blind as a consequence of being possessed of demons. There was a woman in the Bible who was bent right over as a consequence of being possessed by a demon. They tended to have an unclean effect upon men and women. They affected their minds. They made their minds distorted. They made them think about things that were filthy. And so these demons are sometimes called unclean spirits. Now, it wasn't just one demon that had possessed Mary Magdalene, but 7. We don't know the circumstances in which the Lord Jesus Christ came into her life, but one day, somehow, she had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he cast out these 7 demons, and he emancipated Mary Magdalene from the power of evil in her life, and she became a devoted, loyal follower of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we sometimes sing, it is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he can do for you. I'm not saying that you're possessed by demons, but every one of us in our lives have known slavery to sin. You see, sin is a hard taskmaster in human lives. We're all prone to temptation, and the devil, in a very subtle way, lays his snares for every one of us, and we're too weak to resist. And so life becomes a succession of defeats. The Savior put it this way, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. What the Lord Jesus did for Mary Magdalene, he can do for you. He can set you free, but you must come to him, you must trust him, you must acknowledge him as your Lord and Savior, and he'll set you free. He said himself, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Someone else who was there at the cross was the Apostle John, and the Lord Jesus had saved him as well. One day John had been mending his nets. He was a fisherman, he was mending his nets by the Sea of Galilee, and the Savior came and encouraged John to follow him, and he did. And the Lord Jesus made him what he called a fisher of men. He changed his interests in this life. Now again, what the Lord did for John, he can do for you. He'll change your interests. You might think, I could never be a Christian. I mean, the demands of the Bible are too high as far as I'm concerned. You may be thinking, I could never live without certain cherished sins and pastimes and worldly pursuits in my life. But the Lord can take away your desire for these things and implant within your heart desires for things that are more wholesome and are better. And if you really trust the Lord Jesus, he'll change your lifestyle too. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There was another man there at the cross whom the Lord Jesus saved. We call him the dying thief, one of the men who was dying by the side of the Lord Jesus. He was at the very gates of hell that day. Another hour or two, and he would have slipped through into eternal punishment. But at the 11th hour, so to speak, he repented of his sin. He trusted Christ as his Lord and Savior. And the Lord Jesus promised him, today you'll be with me in paradise. And as a consequence of that man believing in the Lord Jesus, his eternal destiny was changed. Again, what the Lord did for others, he can do for you. Where are you heading for? If you were to die today, where would you be? Heaven or hell? If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you could settle forever your eternal destiny. You could be confident, yes, I'm going to be with Christ. I'll be with him forever. I'll be like that dying thief. He saved others. He saved Mary. She was there that day. He saved John. He was there that day. He saved the thief who died by his side and changed his eternal destiny. And he can save you because he did not save himself. He saved himself none of the shame or the pain or the sorrow or the sin-bearing. He endured it all willingly in our interest, but you must respond to him. It's not enough to know that he saved others. There was an occasion in Simon Peter's life when he said to the Lord Jesus, Lord, save me. You've got to come to that point in life as well. Just for the moment, forget about other folks and think about your own spiritual need and about your own eternal destiny. And even today, respond to Christ and call out to him, Lord, save me. The Bible promises, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you've got to do it. You'll never drift into salvation. You won't go to bed some night unsaved and waking up in the morning saved and on the way to heaven, and the whole thing has happened to you unconsciously. No. While there's nothing to do in order to be saved as far as good works are concerned, there is something to do. You've got to repent of your sin. You've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you believe in him in your heart, then you'll give expression to that by calling out to him, Lord, save me. And again, I repeat the verse of scripture quoted three times in the Holy Bible, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I urge you to do that today. There's no time to be lost. The Bible does say, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. In light of the fact that life is fragile, in light of the fact that death is certain, and it's only the timing of it that's uncertain. I urge you to make the salvation of your soul an absolute priority. Don't be content to know that he saved others. Today, you make sure that you are among those who've been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ.